This is Firepower. Welcome to the broadcast. You're going to want to share this show because this is going to be a very important broadcast. We're going to cover a lot of information. It's very timely, and you need to know this. So we are literally saying it all comes down to this. It's a good counterfeit, not real, a good counterfeit versus the real, the remnant. Are you part of the remnant? I believe we're at a moment of decision in our nation and our world. And as believers, we can't be on the fence. We have to choose a side. America wobbles on the brink of economic calamity, the possibility of world war. We got civil unrest. We've seen it the last couple of years. It's probably going to come back during the election cycle. We're, of course, seeing moral bankruptcy. But yet there is hope in this group of people known as the remnant. It's those who hunger and thirst for righteousness and those that are willing to teach and preach and live out the Bible in its entirety. Those that are willing to defend the faith, those that have discernment from the Holy Spirit and who may be the least likely. We're going to share about how we believe God has a lot of those folks, which is you, that have been hidden for this time, for such a time as this. So that being said, let's get into this. I'm going to invite my friend Mario Merlo into the broadcast. Mario, welcome.
Well, let me tell you, Todd, this is going to be a very powerful subject, and we want those who are watching to alert your friends and anyone you can that this show is on live right now, and please share it if at all possible. We are watching a growing audience, but we still feel that there are many more that need to know what we're going to say tonight. Now, I want to set one thing up, Todd, based on what you said. There are people watching right now that have a spiritual frustration. There are things that bother you, that frustrate you when you go to church, and we're not against church. We're for the pastor. We're their friend. We want to support them. But there are many places of worship, Christian events, and culture in the church that feels like it is completely caved into the world system. And you're spiritually starved, hungry for something. You can't even define what it is. It is an inner dealing of God that is pulling you away from things. Things that used to thrill you and excite you don't do it anymore. And you can't put into words why you are so hungry and feeling like this isn't it. This isn't it. We have fatigue from the constant drumbeat of talking about politics, the constant drumbeat seemingly that people want more and more emotional experiences instead of getting deeply anchored in the Word of God. But most of all, you feel a warning that something is coming, something deep is going on. And I feel, Todd, that there's a video that we have of David Wilkerson that I think puts it clearly into perspective. And I want to roll that video right now, and then I want you and I to comment on it because I believe it's setting us up for the rest of this show.
Yeah. I was listening to the radio in the car the other day, and a national call-in program had 2 hours dedicated to the book of Revelation. And the question asked by the host was, do you believe that this is the end? Do you believe that God is judging the nations for their sins? Now, this was a secular host. It wasn't a Christian program. And most of the callers that called in, now I was amazed. Most of them said, this is God. This is divine intervention. And even the seculars that were calling in said, this is beyond comprehension. There's something happening. Is God speaking? Is God judging the nations? Now, as a believer, what do you think about all of this? As a believer, what comes to your mind? Is this what Jesus said would happen, that men's hearts would begin to fail them for fear of watching those things coming on the earth? Has that come to your mind? If we believe the Bible is God's eternal word, then this is what you have to believe. I'm quoting to you now from 2 Peter 2:4-6. If God saved not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and spared not the old world, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Who brought in the flood? God brought in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and he turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them examples unto those that after should live ungodly. God sent fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah and destroyed the city. He brought in the flood that destroyed a wicked, vile society during Noah's time. There have been prophetic warnings. Is there something happening? Is there something supernatural? This has never happened. Though there have been floods and earthquakes and famines and pestilence and plagues all through history. Because you see, all those things happen, but they have not happened in the intensity and the rapidity of what we're seeing in the nations of the world today.
So I want to ask you a question, Todd, right off the top. Yeah. Do you feel that God is warning God's people, the people who are watching? Do you feel like God is warning them right now that in fact he is judging the earth, and that the Christians have to take special steps in order to be ready for what's coming? Do you feel like that's coming out right now?
I do. In fact, when I was listening to that clip, I don't think there's anybody that could not get an urgency from what David Wilkerson was saying there in their spirit. Because as we look around and we see what's going on, I mentioned some of it in the beginning, wars and rumors of wars, pestilence, nation rising up against nation, as the scripture said, we can see all the signs are there. And I believe God would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah if he didn't hold the nations today the same standard. We have to return back to God. Now, I do believe, Mario, that we are at the end of what I call the great reprieve. I believe God gave us a season to get this right. And I believe the spotlight is on the church, and it's an if my people moment. Why do I believe that? We're still here, and we still have a nation. When you look at what's going on just here in America and in the Western world, but specifically in America, with our borders being open, with all the opportunities for the enemy to come in, and yet you and I are able to still speak freely on this broadcast tonight and share the good news, share the gospel message. So I believe we're at the end of the reprieve. I believe there's signs all around us. I believe that anybody that's operating on the unction and the anointing of the Spirit knows that there's an urgency. This is a very late hour, but yet we're still here. So what I would say is that this is high. It is a season right now for us to get this right. We've got to look to the scripture and say, what did they do in the situation where Nineveh repented? What did they do in the situation where the children of Israel turned back to God and laid down the false idols? We've got to listen to the right voices. We've got to have the discernment to navigate this. But I still have hope, because I believe we're still here and we're in this opportune moment. I think this is a moment of decision, Mario.
And I believe that it's important, Todd, in what you just said, that those who are watching understand exactly what we're trying to say and not to misunderstand us. We're not for fear. We're not in favor of panic. We're not trying to tell you that things are disastrous for you. What we're going to tell you is that God is giving us a healthy warning. And that's the word, healthy warning. The first word is this, conviction. You see, the church has this notion, too much of the church has this notion, that God doesn't judge, that God doesn't convict, that God doesn't hold people accountable for their behavior, that he doesn't punish nations. He does, and he's doing it, and things are unraveling. I truly believe that we're about to see something tumultuous, but we can be ready, and we can face it, and we can follow instructions. Now, the most dangerous thing, Todd, that I think can happen to a Christian right now, I mean, the most dangerous thing that can happen to a Christian is to have a false notion of God and to impose on God character qualities that humans have. I'll give you a vivid example. I don't believe in hell, somebody might say. Well, and they'll say, Mario, how can a God of love create a hell? I said, you know, the sin you've just committed is called idolatry, because you've just made God in your own image. God is much higher, much deeper than you or I or any of us that are watching. And the God that we serve is capable of doing holy and just things on a level we don't understand. Now that idea follows on the idea of judgment. Christians are not being warned because they're sitting under preaching that tells them that God is goo-goo-eyed about them. He's so into them that he can't possibly allow anything bad to happen to them. That flies in the face of the Christians who have suffered through the ages, not because God judged them, but because they live in the midst of evil. And God says this, look, I want you to take up the armor. I want you to stand on the rock, Christ Jesus, and you'll weather all these things and you'll be fine. But what would be dangerous is for anyone to believe there's no steps that they need to take in order to be ready. And that's why we're calling the remnant out. Get out of the things that are artificial, that are counterfeit, that are false. And let's talk about some of those things. What are those things that are counterfeit? As far as you see, you're looking in the Christian movement right now. What are some of the counterfeits that you see, Todd?
Oh, my goodness. There's so much. Where do we start? You know, the thing is, if you look at like a counterfeit, what's a counterfeit? You know, a counterfeit bill. I'm not talking about one that looks so fake, you know, it's fake. I'm talking about the ones that you need to use the marker, if you know what I'm talking about, just to see if the bill is real or not. And that's what we're dealing with in the church. There's good counterfeits right now. They act like the anointing. They sound like the anointing. The only thing that's missing is the anointing, the Holy Spirit, the most important factor. But they learn how to be good actors, good showmen. And unfortunately, to those that don't understand what the scripture says, this is where they can get really deceived quick. You know, newer believers, because they're saying all the right things, Mario. They're looking right. They're saying the right stuff. They're acting in their, I call it Christianese, you know, speaking our language. Everything looks right. And really the only factor that distinguishes it is discernment of the Holy Spirit, where we have to go to the Lord and say, is this you? Is this you, Lord? And this is where we have to hear the voice of the Lord. And the only way that we can know this, other than doing that, of course, is knowing the scripture, because that's how we know God. And we have to verify these things. I just heard somebody the other day, Mario, they said, Gentiles don't need to repent. This is a teaching that's out there right now. Gentiles don't need to repent. Well, you know, there's people that are backing this up. That's true. Gentiles don't need to repent. Where does it say that? I can give you a litany of scriptures that speaks the opposite of that. Of course, we all need to repent. That was the message of Jesus. That was the message of John the Baptist. It's been the message in all the gospels, is that we need to repent in order to come to know. And so, but see, there's another teaching out there right now, but a third eye. And this is catching a lot of steam. It's New Age. It's a syncretism of false religion intertwined with biblical Christianity. And so what a lot of these folks will do is they'll quote a scripture and make it sound really good. And then the next thing that they say is totally off from a theological standpoint, from a doctrinally sound standpoint. So this is where we have to be astute. Now, I know there's some people listening, they say, well, call it out, name it. And here's what I say. First of all, we have, but second of all, there's too many counterfeits that we'd be all day long naming. And so what you have to do is you got to get to a point where you say, how do I know? How can I be set up for success in the future? And that's knowing the word of God, having an active prayer life, and hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. And this is what we need to understand.
Okay, let's capsulize counterfeits. Number one, inordinate mentioning and pleading for money, connecting gifts of God to money. So avarice and greed is a sign. You'll know that wolf is in sheep's clothing by first looking at their relationship to finances. Do I believe preachers should be poor? No. Should they drive a jalopy? Not unless it's a classic worth some money. But I do believe that there is a spirit of materialism that grips a minister. And when he starts talking to you inordinately about finances, it's something to, that's when your smoke alarm needs to go off. Second is the idea that when you hear someone speak, that there is no repentance required, that God has somehow exempted. See, there's a notion in America that the Christian, the breed of Christian that lives here, is a higher grade than the Christians that live in other countries. Americans, by default, apparently, are more blessed than Christians anywhere in the world. So we don't identify with the underground church. We feel sort of too valuable to realize the fact that we must be ready. Third, when you saw that video by David Wilkerson, here's the important conclusion. He is intimating that the world is more aware that something cataclysmic is going on. And let's not use the term, it's coming. It's here. The convulsions in nature are going on. The convulsions in morals, in naturalness, in gender, in parenting, in family, all of it is unraveling. And for a Christian to look the other way and say those things aren't happening when the world is calling into talk shows and saying, hey, I think we're in the book of Revelation. If they believe that, how much more we should? Now let's add one more. If their preaching doesn't allow for you to trust the Word of God, trust your experience more than the Bible, trust what I'm saying more than the Bible, that's another danger sign. And finally, when there's an overemphasis on one gift, whether it be casting out devils, whether it be the prophetic, whether it even is just everything is all about one gift, then you know that you're in danger. And they're doing it for a reason. You see, the Bible says that Jesus went about doing good, Acts 10:38, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, and it explains why Jesus had power, for God was with him. There's a lot of projects, a lot of building, construction, and program. God's not in it. If he had been in it, the nation would be in a different condition. We quit winning souls. We deferred to teachers. We gave up the rights of our kids to teachers by being busy. Then one day we woke up and found out there was this monstrous agenda going against them. We didn't get involved in politics. We didn't question the morals of the day. Pastors felt squeamish about talking about sin. What happened? The end result is that just as leftist cities are now overrun by the homeless and by crime, by virtue of their policies and the laws they pass, so the Christian movement in America is paying for its inordinate imbalance, not being centered on Christ in the Word. So that's why the remnant have to wake up, turn around, and realize safety is available if you listen to the voice of God. And you better know that the voice of God is not saying all of these cringy, silly, imbalanced, and unscriptural things that you're hearing today.
That's right. Wow. I mean, this is a discussion that needs to be had. I really feel the Holy Spirit is leading us on this. We're kind of off notes right now, but I think this is good. You know, something I got to say, Mario, too, it's one thing if you don't know. You know, if you don't know, if you're making a mistake, but you're not informed, you don't know. It's another thing when you know and you double down. A good leader makes a course correction when they find they're in error. And what I found that a lot of these folks have done is they know they're in error, and they could literally salvage the ministry and get back on course. And I believe the Lord has a lot of grace. But what's happened is instead they've doubled down because they don't want to lose the money. They don't want to lose the notoriety. And now we find ourselves in a very dangerous place because now people say, well, why are you talking about this? You know, why would one bring up this subject? I'm gonna give you the reason. It's about souls. It's about caring for the body. We don't get, this is not something that's a popular discussion. Now, I know the remnant folks will get it, but the truth is that we'll get a lot of flack for this kind of conversation. So why do you do it, Todd? Why do you do it, Mario? We do it because we care about the church. We care about the body of Christ. We care about sound doctrine. We care about the harvest. Mario loves the harvest. Look at the tent behind him. Yeah. I mean, we're about to go out to LA and we'll talk about that in a few minutes, but that's the whole reason. You know, I have an urgency in my spirit that I grieve over these things, Mario, and I know you do as well.
You know, there's a sin that I'm not going to use the word sin on this. I'm not afraid to use it, and I'll use it, but I'd rather use another word. There is an embarrassment coming to the carnal believer, an embarrassment when the world starts to be more hungry for God than the church. Now, you know, you see this picture of this crowd. This was taken in Colorado Springs in our new tent that I thought we wouldn't be able to fill because it was twice the size of the one we had before. You know what's really scary about the picture of the people that are behind me and what ought to give us pause? It would amaze you how many of them are non-Christians, unchurched, that came to the tent because the times are so terrible, so insecure, so foreboding, that they are there sitting in a tent and they don't want a sugar-coated message. They don't want it dumbed down, diluted, or in any way compromised. See, that's the scariest part for me. You ought not to just worry about the money being no good and evil taking over everything. You ought to also be aware that you, as a lukewarm believer, are going to look ridiculous when revival strikes. When the prostitute down the street loves God more than the president of the Women's Missionary Society overnight, that's going to be an embarrassment. And that's why that takes us to the next video, if you don't mind. Now, I want to say this leading up to it. I don't agree with Glenn Beck theologically, okay? But I still believe that God can speak through people that I don't agree with. And I don't endorse them, and I'm not saying I'm all for them. But he had an encounter with Billy Graham that is vital and important to all of us, because it's going to explain to the remnant what God is going to do next. We're going to tell you right now, Todd and I, what God is going to do next. But let's roll the tape and listen to this conversation.
I want to talk to you here about something that Billy Graham told me about 5 years before he died. We became friends at the end of his life. And I so admired him. And at one point, I said, Billy, where are the people that are going to step up? Where's the next George Washington, Abraham Lincoln? Where's the next Billy Graham? And he smiled and he said, God is tired of people like me getting credit for his work. He said, it's not going to work this way this time. He said, this time, people who are just regular people are going to do something that they may think is small and insignificant, and they may not even understand it, but they feel compelled that they're supposed to do this one thing, and they'll argue in their own head, say, that doesn't make any sense. Why would I do that? That's not going to change anything. And he said, and if everybody who hears what they're supposed to do and does just that, nothing more, nothing less, just that, and remains faithful, he said, the lights will come on and you'll see a mosaic that God is working, and everyone on earth will know only the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob could have done it. That's what he told me. It has lasted with me, and I'm seeing that come to fruition right now. Oliver Anthony was a guy who was, at the end, just a few weeks ago, he was at the end, sitting in his truck, weeping, completely broken. Now he's on Joe Rogan. He was on Joe Rogan, and he's talking to Joe about the scriptures. And Joe is listening, and so are millions of Americans. I think what Oliver Anthony just did is what our preachers are failing to do. Our preachers, it's all gobbledygook. It doesn't feel real to so many right. Americans.
How right was so that? True. How That's right?
Spot okay. on. Okay,
you know, I'm sorry. I got to hit this while he said it. There are people hidden by God right now watching. Right now. Just like this man that was sitting in his truck broken, and then he writes a song that everyone wants to hear now, put him on Joe Rogan. He's influencing millions of people overnight. He's at the end of his rope. You know, I think of a verse in the Bible. It says, now Moses tended sheep. Here's a man that would be the second most influential human being in the history of the world, next to Christ. And at this moment, he's 80 years old, he's burned out, he's finished, and he's tending sheep. And the reason his life was changed is he saw a burning bush. And he knew. And what did Glenn Beck say that Billy Graham told him? Billy Graham told him, they're ordinary people. And all they have to do is what God tells them to do. You know that right now, you're frustrated, you're hurt, you're worried about your children. Life is overwhelming you. And there's a spark inside of you that tells you God's going to do something. 5 years ago, I couldn't have imagined this tent, this crowd, and this movement, and that I would be on the brink of the Los Angeles fairgrounds in what will be the largest invasion we've ever stayed. I couldn't have imagined it 5 years ago. And there is something unimaginable that God is working in you. That's why you turn this broadcast on. That's why you're listening to us. God is allowing crisis to shake the world. But he's hidden people, people that don't know who they are, don't realize their potential. They're right there and they're watching. That's what we're trying to tell you in Jesus' name. Todd?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I think about Romans where it says that he's going to turn around what was meant for evil for good. And that's what's happening in the lives of many that are watching this that have been hidden. You've been through the refiner's fire. And, you know, the difference between somebody who's just a suit that's filling, you know, empty, like so many preachers out there, unfortunately, versus somebody who's got an anointing from the Holy Spirit is when we can get out of the way and let the Lord move. Because by the time we get to that place, we've been through so much that it only can be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And those are the folks I'm talking to right now. You've been through some stuff. And the church even at times has rejected you. How do I know this? You know, I put up a post the other day, Mario, and it was crazy. This happens anytime I talk about church hurt. We got more letters. I mean, so many letters from people that have had pastors and different situations in the church. And I always say, I know there are some that operate in offense. So I'm not talking about those people. But I'm talking about genuine folks that have dealt with manipulation, that have dealt with all different types of things from people who didn't understand what it means to be an actual shepherd, what it means to be a person of God that gets behind the folks and pushes them up instead of lords from the top down. And that's what we need to be doing as shepherds. We need to be encouraging folks in their gifting, getting behind them, standing with them, praying, exhorting. This isn't about a name or a ministry. You know, I said this the other night on Friday, and I firmly believe this. You know, there's almost every pastor believes that revival is going to happen at their ministry. And while I'm not opposed to that, of course, that would be great. What if we just got out of the way and we're a part of what God is doing? And it's not about our ministry. It's not about our name. It's about being a part. As Glenn Beck said, we just do what God told us to do, and we're part of a greater move, and we allow the Spirit of God to move. This is what he's looking for. We saw it during the COVID era. We saw mama bears and papa bears stepping up and getting at the community meetings, getting on the mic. I mean, I think the lieutenant governor of one of the Carolinas, Mr. Robinson, he was one of those people that initially was out there at some meeting and spoke such an eloquent and anointed message that he got elevated to where he is now, a lieutenant governor. And I believe that's just the beginning of that man's, you know, where God's going to take him because he has an anointing on him. I heard him speak. Right. I said, this man is anointed. This is what God is doing. He's raising up remnant people. What is that? People that hunger and thirst for righteousness that are willing to say yes. Like the prophet Isaiah, send me, I'll go, and God will use us. But we've got to get out of the way and let God move.
Amen. That's good, Todd. I'm going to tell you what's going on too. Yeah. Pastors, congregations, we have created a villain. The villain is not the pastor. The villain is not the people. It's a circumstance and a value system that was set up. I'm going to give you a good parable about it. Modern airlines. If you've flown on a jet, you know how tense going through TSA, going through with children. You see people at an airport frazzled by the system that is set up unduly. Flight attendants are imposed upon in ways in their job that we can't begin to imagine. They're supposed to be this. They're supposed to be that. There is a stress level on a plane like never before. Now, you can blame the passengers. When they get drunk and they get unruly and they attack a flight attendant, yeah, they need to be arrested. That's wrong. But the flight attendants also need to understand what they've been through through all of security and all the stress of getting to the airport and going through all that nonsense until finally they're sitting in the chair at a boiling point. So there's plenty of pain on both sides. Now, I'm using that as a parable for church. Pastors today are under more pressure. I'm talking about the good ones, the sincere.
Yes.
They're under more pressure, more irrational, unreal. One pastor, he said this. He said, look, you businessmen live in the world and you have one boss. I've got a church of 1,000 members. I've got 1,000 bosses. And they all believe that they have the right to tell me what to preach, what to do, what my wife should wear, and how my kids should act. They live not only in a fishbowl, but we've created this unreal, unrealistic. Then you have these church growth gurus that get up and say, you could have a church of thousands like I do. You only have 150. I've got thousands. And overnight, I could show you this method and that method. And it's simple. All you have to do is compromise your convictions and your morals, be willing to be dishonest, and take Madison Avenue marketing campaign, sell Christ the way McDonald's sells Big Macs, and you'll have a big church. But you won't have a conscience, and you won't have peace. So here's the crisis that many pastors feel. They're under a completely impossible and unsustainable expectation from a system. It isn't necessarily the congregation's fault. It's a system that places a definition of what success is and what value is and what good preaching is. Now, same thing happens to the person in the pew. They're frazzled from a week that's unbelievable. They're fighting teachers, fighting immorality, fighting traffic and bills, and they're going through their own, and they come together. Here's a strange answer for everybody. And I'm going to tell you in just an instant, we've got to be willing to face our greatest fear. Pastor, why be afraid of the people? Why let them control you? Why let them decide? Why let the system grow the church when Jesus said, on this rock, I will build my church? And secondly, if you're in the pulpit, if you're in the pew, rather, you can't expect your pastor to be perfect and unblemished and capable of understanding everything you're going through. I think both sides need a miracle. And the miracle is that church should become a safe zone in Jesus' name where power flows and people's needs are met. But there is love and understanding flowing on either side. I got one more parable, but I'm not going to dominate this. I just had to say that. I feel like God is raising up shepherds and congregations that are going to find each other, and there's going to be this homogeneous, supernatural love and feeling of being a family. You're seeing it every Friday night here in Gallatin. And I'm telling you, we're going to see it spread. And we want to encourage pastors that are watching. We love you. We want you to be strong. We don't want you to be the victim of some fantasy standard that isn't in the Word of God.
Yeah. I'm so glad you said that, Mark, because that is the other side. And to your point, it's both sides. And I'm a pastor, so I'm talking, preaching to the choir. But here's the thing about this. Okay, you said a few things. Number one, I was taking notes here. Motive. What's our motive? What is the reason? What is the purpose? This is where it comes back to the main thing. We've got to make the main thing again. And that means teaching and preaching the entirety of the Word of God, but also getting back to souls and making disciples. And I really believe that is something that God has put on the heart of the remnant in this hour, is to make it about souls. Our bedside manner, you mentioned the folks up in the air. Have we lost our bedside manner? Have we lost our ability to operate as Christ? I see online, I know everybody sees it, the vitriol, the back and forth. And I always think, if you got a couple thousand people on your Facebook page or whatnot, or even a couple hundred, think about all those people in the room at one time. Those are the folks that are watching the back and forths that we're having as believers. And I have to tell you, a lot of these conversations are not Christian. They're very mean-spirited. And, folks are watching in the world and they're saying, do I want this? And so I think that's very important. We got to have our bedside manner. And then A third one is teachability. I think accountability, teachability, we've got to remain teachable. You know, we're talking about Billy Graham tonight. And one of the things that stuck out when I had met Franklin and he was telling me about his dad was that he said, I'm ever the child in the Lord. In other words, I never get to the day that I think I got it all figured out. If I get to that day, it's a dangerous day. He said, I'm always learning until the day I die. And that really stuck with me because we've got to be teachable. We've got to understand we miss it. Everybody, and to your point, a lot of people put pastors on pedestals. And, you know, we got to be pointing folks up to God. So I love what you said, Mario. And as a pastor, I appreciate it because, you know, I've been burned a lot. Some of the people that I've poured into the most have been the folks that have hurt me the most. And I'm human, you know, and to your point, everybody's got something to say. And it's a heavy responsibility on my wife, on our family. But yet we know it's a calling and we love people. So thank you for sharing that.
You know, and there's no rule in church life that you have to obey except the one that God puts on you. And the Bible says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. I got our tent crew together, all of my staff, and I looked at him and I said, are we having fun? Because if we're not, we're not in the will of God. We're doing something that's work and it's laborious and it's slavery. And I'm going to tell you a quick story here. There was a young wife, madly in love with her husband, married him, and they never really talked about cuisine. And she wanted to learn how to cook. He didn't like anything she cooked. He said, it doesn't taste like my mother's cooking. So she took these cooking classes, became an amazing cook. He said, no, this is terrible. I can't stand it. And it doesn't taste like my mom's cooking at all. And one day, out of total frustration, this wife said, I don't care anymore. I'm just going to burn his food. So she put the burnt food on a plate, served it to him, and said, he looked at it and he tasted it. He said, this is wonderful. It's just like my mom. Turned out that his mom was a lousy cook that was burning the food. Now, how does that apply to what we're trying to say right now? All of us need to realize that we cannot perform ministry. We cannot perform marriage. We cannot perform being a person of virtue and righteousness. We've got to be full of the Spirit of God and let the power of God guide our conduct and our life. And how did this wife get there? She came to the end of herself. And it's a wonderful revelation when you come to the point where you look at modern life and all your responsibility and you say, I can't do this. And God will look at you and say, you don't know how long I've been waiting for you to say that. Now, let me tell you my discipline in my life. I don't go anywhere that God doesn't want me to go. I won't preach anywhere where God doesn't want me to go. I don't care about the money. I don't care about the offering. You can tell me, oh, well, if you come, we'll do this, we'll give you that. I don't care. All I want to know is what is Jesus saying? And I found out that I have the strength to obey God. And if I have the strength to obey God, nothing else matters. What the devil is constantly doing to us, Todd, is getting us to wander into projects, feelings, commitments, and obligations that require human fuel and are not fueled by the Holy Spirit. And that leads us to this very important and vital moment. Glenn Beck, think about this, Todd, because I got to ask you a question in a minute. He's always talking about politics.
Right.
He was, remember all the charts when he was on Fox News?
Oh, yeah.
And back in the
spooky
day.
Spooky guy. Yeah. I remember very well.
All, you know, and he was always talking about politics. What's happened to him that he's evolving away from it? And Mario, you're confusing me because you have been very politically verbal. Yes, I was when it was right. You see, and I love to say this, you back in the day when I always talked against drugs, nobody accused me of being a pharmacist. But when I began to point out the evil of the Democratic Party and the leftist agenda, immediately I'm a politician. Now I'm getting in trouble because I'm growing again. Why doesn't Glenn Beck talk about politics like he used to? Why is he talking about scripture and God? Because he believes that the ultimate answer is not political. It has to come from a miracle from God. Okay, Todd, take it from there.
Okay. You know, I want to read something the Lord gave me the other day. And it was something that actually a lot of people shared because I think it bear witness in their spirit. But I said, we're in an extreme, multifaceted battle that's increasingly becoming more and more serious as both a nation and a world. And for believers who are standing and fighting this fight, we've got to protect ourselves. The enemy wants us beat down. He wants us weary. He seeks to accuse and to pressure us. We got to be wise in what we engage in. We got to pick and choose our battles. We can't fall into the traps that are set. And what the Lord was saying is get the needed rest. Take care of your body. Physically exercise if possible. Feed your soul by being in the word and in prayer. And do only what you're meant to do. And don't overcommit or spread yourself too thin. Be focused and wise in what you take on. Yet more than anything, listen to the Lord's voice and follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Rest and trust in the Lord, and he will renew your strength. It reminded me when you were saying that, Mario, we're in this multifaceted battle. What you've done, and I admire it, is you've gone to where the battle is. You know, when we're in a war, what happens? Look what's going on in the Ukraine right now. You have to go to the front line. You got to go to where the battle is happening. And so if it's in politics, we got to go there. If it's somewhere else, we got to go wherever it is. And that's why you've been very bold in calling out some false doctrines and things that are happening. That's where the battle is. And I think this is what we've been afraid of, is what's this person going to say, or what's going to happen to the ministry, but we've got to fear the Lord. It's an audience of one. And I think this is what the Lord is doing right now. He's right setting us and getting us back on track to what we need to be focused on, what we need to be worried about. And this is where the remnant comes in. This is where we're at right now. We're in this moment, this pivotal moment of decision. And are we going to do what we're meant to do? Are we going to do what the scripture says? There is a way out of this. There's a real way out. There's a real way forward, and there's a real hope. But the challenge right now is a lot of folks want to double down on the insanity. And what is the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and over again. That's what got us into this mess. So are we going to do what we're supposed to do right now? I think we have another clip, right, Mario?
Yep. We want to hear Billy Graham, because we want to say something about truth. Right before we run it, I want to add this. The irony of the truth is this, is the same truth that can hurt with its conviction and nailing us where we need to be nailed is also the same source of hope. Truth is painful and hopeful. And that's what you've got to face, the great fear of being criticized, of somebody rebuking you. And here's what's going on. We're holding on, tense, overwhelmed with fear of opening up and explaining to others or God our real need. We don't want to say it because the truth we feel would kill us, but the truth will not. In the opening impact of truth, you'll be hurt. But if you stick it out, it leads to the greatest hope there is. Because now you breathe the sigh of relief. Now I know I'm on the other side of it. And so repentance is a powerful gift. So let's roll this video of Billy Graham right now.
Repentance means that you change your mind about God, about yourself, and about your need. You change your mind and Christ will transform it. We've all sinned. And that's the reason he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross. You say, well, what do I have to do? You have to be willing to repent of your sins. That means to change your mind, to change your heart, to change your attitude. That means that you say, Lord, I have sinned. I'm sorry. It means that you're saying to God, I'm willing to change my way of living and turn from sin. That's repentance. Change your mind, he'll change your heart. Change your mind and he will come in and regenerate you, and you will be a born again person. Today is the day of salvation. Come now while you can. Don't wait.
Boy, do I love that. I'm going to let you go first. I've been talking a lot, but go.
No, this is the heart of God. This is it right here. You know, we ask the question, it all comes down to this in the beginning. What are we going to do? This is it. If people say to me, Todd, does everybody need to repent in America? I think it's what the scripture says, where it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. This is the recipe for revival, for new life. And I believe we're just at that pivotal moment right now. But if you know, remnant people are watching right now. Many of you are saying, but I have done this. Okay, then we got to share the message to others. We've got to get, this is the message right now. It's a timely message that will spare this nation, that will save us from calamity. We see that the enemy is at the gate. I just saw a story the other day where Kim Jong-il or Un is going over there to Russia and they're going to do an arms deal. I mean, our enemies are aligning right now. But the deal is that we want the favor and the blessing of God. How do we get that? What Billy Graham just said, we repent as a people of God. We don't make it about something that else, that, you know, an idol, something in the ministry that we've made an idol, or, you know, money, or our reputation, or whatever it is that we've put in the way of God. We've got to get our eyes focused back on the Lord. And this, I believe, is the message right now as we get ready to go out to Los Angeles, California, to what may be the biggest crusade of this time. And what a place to have it. Los Angeles. We just played Billy Graham. That was where his big crusade took place. It's almost like full circle, Mario, what's happening right now. But I believe God's giving us one more round. What do you think about that?
The round that God has given us, Todd, is simply this. The hunger of the masses is so great that it's an embarrassment to the church that we're not preaching the gospel, that we can have mass events without an altar call, that we can talk about praying for God to send workers into the harvest, but refusing to obey our own prayer and go into the harvest. So this hypocrisy, this double standard, this glaring fault in modern Christians has got to be repented of. And that's the interesting thing. Even though Billy Graham was overtly talking to a non-Christian about changing their heart, every bit of it applied to you and I, to be able to admit we're wrong, to change our heart, change our attitude. Right now, we have 700 workers that are coming to LA. By the time the tent starts, I believe we'll have 1,000 workers under that tent. They're going to talk to the bank president and the gangbanger, the homeless and the multimillionaire. There is no respecter of persons with our work. And we need to ask you to pray for us, yes. But if you live in the Los Angeles area, just days away, we're going to begin this Sunday at 7 p.m. at the Fairplex in Pomona, also known as the Los Angeles County Fairgrounds. It's a huge, huge undertaking. We are looking for a massive harvest and for the 100 churches that have backed this crusade, revival fire to break out in their congregations. It's going to be something big. There's something important that we're going to add to that, and that is the supernatural miracle power of God. God's healing is going to be under the tent. I believe it's going to be some of the greatest healings we've seen. Now, all you got to do is go to proof4la.com. You'll find out everything about the Tent Crusade. And I do believe we have one more video to run with David Wilkerson. And I think we ought to run it now. I don't think we ought to wait. What do you say? Let's do it.
I said go for it. Yep.
Now, folks, I believe in heaven. I preach heaven. I'm exhilarated at the thought of being in paradise with Christ for eternity. But you see, the world is not thinking that. They're not saying, you come to them and say, well, think of eternity, think of heaven. They'll say to you, look, I'm trying to get through the day. I'm just trying to make it through tomorrow. I'm not thinking of eternity. And the first thing they're going to tell you when you say heaven, they say, look, you talk about God, you talk about Jesus. I've prayed and there are no answers. And I lost faith. And they're not thinking about heaven. You see, if that is all we preach, someday, somewhere, you're going to have relief. No, you see, the world is nervous. The world is out of its mind. The world is perplexed. The world is full of fear. And they're not going to take a message about heaven. They're taking pills and alcohol trying to get through another day. That's the hope of the church, yes. But out there, here in the city and around the world, that is not the hope. How do I preach hope, then, to this lost world? All I can tell you is what God's speaking to me and how God is showing me how to bring hope to the hopeless in a time of calamity.
I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it right now, folks. I'm looking at you. I'm going to answer David Wilkerson's question. How do we bring hope in this time of calamity? I think the greatest joy of my life is that I was in a great youth revival called the Jesus Movement. I thought I'd never see it again. I thought there'd never be anything like that ever again in America. That pure, that wholesome, that widespread, and that powerful. But you know what? The images you just saw of hurting people, dying people, people on the edge of eternity are so hungry that they're going to make the most powerful, fiery Christians we've ever seen. And they're coming from everywhere. And this gives us tremendous excitement. And it should you, it should tell you, come out from among them, which is, by the way, an excellent book by Todd Coconato that you need to get. We'll talk about that in a moment. But the fact is that this is an hour of getting the gospel out to people who are ready. How many times do I have to say that I've stopped in the middle of a sermon because the groaning, the weeping in the audience, they were ready to get saved? How it frustrates me that anyone could ever preach a sermon or have a church service, or anyone can go to church without a coworker that's on the edge of suicide, or a single mom that is literally at her wit's end. They're everywhere. And I'm telling you, this is a glorious moment. I know it looks bad, but it's a glorious moment for every single one of us to open up. There ought to be 10 crusades all over America. People are saying, Mara, that's a marvelous work you're doing. Listen, I don't feel that way about it at all. I feel like there ought to be 70, 80 other tents bigger than mine everywhere in America. You put them up in Detroit, Miami, put them up in Dallas, put them up in Houston, in St. Louis, put them up in any hurting city. And I promise you, the lost are going to make a beeline, not only into the tent, but to the front, weeping and turning to God. That's what makes our religiosity, our spiritual games, such an embarrassment. Okay, Todd, what do you think?
Yeah, I felt the anointing this entire broadcast. I feel the presence of the Lord, and I know many of you watching do as well. And this is God's heart. This is his heart. You know, I think about, I think it was David that said, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. There's a guy named Matt Redman. He's got a song, Take Me Back to the Heart of Worship. That's what we need. We need to get back to the heart of God. We need to find it. And I think this is the message. And this message, it doesn't need to be some red meat Christianity. It doesn't need to be some exotic version of this one or that one. It needs to be what the Lord said. This is his message straight from the scripture. And it's what we need right now. You know, I want to read this from Abraham Lincoln. You know, it was a quote. It says, we've grown in numbers, wealth, and power. And no other nation has ever grown like this. It says, but we have forgotten God. We've forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our own hearts that all the blessings were produced by some superior wisdom or virtue of our own. That's from Abraham Lincoln. It's so spot on. It's like he was saying it about today. Yeah. Yep. It's like, you know, and those David Wilkerson videos, yeah, think about it. That's because they were anointed from the Holy Spirit. His words were ahead of his time. And that's why we're playing them right now. And it's a timely word. So I just feel many of you have been touched tonight. We want to pray for you before we go. Mario, you want to pray for those that have watched and been touched by the Holy Spirit tonight?
You know, I do. And I want to say so strongly, you've been hidden by God. But in this broadcast, we pray that you understand It is not a cruel punishment for you to be have been born and live in this time. God has honored you to be a part of a great and amazing work that he's going to do in you and through you. And when I say going to, it's already started. It's already here. This is what I'm saying. Look to the fields, Jesus said in John 4:35. Look, vast fields of human souls are ripening all around you, Jesus said, and that's the truth. So, Father, I pray for everyone watching. The answer to depression is fresh vision. The answer to loneliness is to invest in the lives of others. The way that we can, oh God, turn defeat into victory instantaneously is by serving. And the minute we begin to serve, even when we feel that our own needs are so far from met, that's when the power rises. That's when we see the miracle, because we touch another life. Our healing will break out when we pray for someone else. Our family will be brought to God if we're sharing the gospel faithfully as you intend. Let every discouraged pastor feel the fire. Let every sick body that is under the influence of this episode of firepower be healed in Jesus' name. And let them report to us the mighty things God has done in their body. We pray, Lord, that anyone watching that doesn't know you, that has never received you, will turn to you now and have the real deal Christianity. Not simply mouth a simple prayer, but simply to say, Jesus, I repent, I surrender, you rose from the dead, wash away my sin, I have sinned, and now I know that you are real and I'm turning to you. I pray and believe in the mighty name of Jesus that yes. there shall be a great and lasting victory on every level. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. We have a big announcement. This coming week, we're going to be doing a Firepower Live from the stage at the tent, if all goes well here. So pray for us and meet us out in Los Angeles. It's going to start Sunday. It's going to go all the way through Wednesday night, the 10th through the 13th. And we do need more volunteers. Mara needs some volunteers. So make sure you go to the website that you see on the screen right now and sign up, because we want you to be there and be a part of it. It's going to mark your life. I'm telling you, if you think tonight was powerful, wait till you see what God does this next week. All right. I think with that, we're done. Right, Mario?
This is a good program. Share it. Share it. It'll play again. You got to see it live, but it'll play again. God bless you. And I hope to see many of you in Los Angeles this Sunday. God bless you.